so good. You guys can have a seat. So if you joined us, we just finished up a series going through. I don't even remember the series. Do you remember the series name? Check the Source. Thank you. As a trick question. No, it wasn't. Oh, the interim pastor just forgot the series name. I got a new series name. And I remember that one. How about that? We excited about that? There we go. Way to help a brother out. We got a new series. It's called Decisive Battles. Decisive Battles. You know, I think coming out of this past series, I think some of us maybe wrestle with the idea that we struggle with something. We struggle with something. If you've been following Jesus for, you've just been living long enough, you kind of know the area of weakness you have. Maybe, you know, it's pride or it's envy or it's lust or greed or gluttony or whatever it is. You kind of know as a human being, if you've been around for about 5 minutes, where you may mess up as a human being, okay? If you haven't yet, I don't know how to help you at this point, okay? You know, you may be the most unself-aware person I've ever met. So most people usually generally have an idea, this is maybe where I struggle every now and then. And so if we're not careful, what eventually happens is this. You fight against it as a Christian. You try to stand against it. You go, I'm not going to struggle with pride or envy or lust or greed or whatever it is. You go, next time it comes up, I'm not going to struggle with it. And then you mess up one more time. And you mess up enough times, and here's the thing you start to struggle with is you believe, I guess this is always going to be a part of me. I guess this is just always going to be a part of me. And I want the Lord, I believe the Lord wants to say, not so fast. Not so fast. I believe this series God's going to use to help people have not only decisive battles, but win. And so I want us to believe in faith that God is going to move, that he's going to give us insight and wisdom on how to not only have decisive battles, but win. Because those things start to change the course of our life. I believe people are going to see freedom happen in their life through this series by the power of God, and their life is not going to be the same moving forward because of how the Lord moves. And so I want to tell you a story from history. So if you guys have been around long, if you know, I love history, okay? I'm that guy who's keeping the History Channel in business. I'm still watching the History Channel. They're playing those advertisements because Philip Kite's tuning in, okay? And so there was obviously World War I. If you guys don't know, World War I happened. Our education system has failed you. But World War I did happen back in the early 1900s, and France was actually on the winning side. They were on the winning side, but they paid a heavy price to win in that war, to be on the Allied side. Back in 1914 and on in World War I, France suffered over 1.35 million killed. They had over 4.2 million wounded, and out of that, about 1.5 million were permanently maimed. They had another 535,000 men missing or made prisoner. That equates to a staggering 73% of the men they mobilized out of the 8.4 million plus. 73% of the men they mobilized in World War I were just listed in those statistics. That doesn't even account for the horrific damage that their property suffered in France. A lot of the heavy fighting took place in their most important regions in their country. Coming out of World War I, the French said, never again. Never again will we let something like that happen. Never again will we not be ready. Never again will we suffer the way we did in World War I. And so they were compelled. They go forth and they start building defenses so that if this ever happens again, if the Germans ever come back, we will be far more ready. And not only will that, we will win when they come back. And so they started building what was called the Maginot Line. And as Austin and I did some research, Austin found out that at the time, the Maginot Line was of the greatest state-of-the-art technology and schemes and plans. The Maginot Line was of the greatest planning of its time. And so what the French did is on their south border, this is all on their eastern side of the country, in the southern border, they put troops, they were ready. In the north, where the Germans came through in World War I and decimated them, they put their best troops, they heavily fortified in that area. They had plenty of troops there, and they said, if the Germans come back, we will be ready. The thing was, there was a small part in the Maginot Line that was left lightly defended, because the French general said the Germans cannot get through the Ardennes forest. They can't get their tanks through. They can't get their divisions through. They can't make it there through. We will have the fighting take place in the north like last time, but we will win. In 1940, on May 10th, the Germans did attack up north. The French and British were ready this time, and the conflict grew. The battle raged for days and days, and the two armies collided, and the French and British were thinking, we have it. We have planned for this. But then on May 16th, 6 days after the battle started up north, the lightly defended Ardennes force is horrified as divisions of German tanks rolled through the forest. They plowed right through the light defenses and made a beeline for the coast to cut off all the armies up north. You see, on June 20th, only 40 days after the conflict started, the French surrendered. 40 days after the Germans attacked in World War II, after they planned for this, after they were ready for this, after they had the state-of-the-art defenses, after they knew the Germans would attack up north, after they were ready, 40 days later, they surrendered as a country. And see, as I started naming off things that we have decisive battles, but maybe I talked about pride. Maybe you go, that's where I want to win. Maybe I talked about lust. You're like, that's where I want to win. Maybe I talked about gluttony. You're like, that's where I want to win. Whatever sin I just named off earlier, you know you're struggling with it. You go, I want to win there. I want to tell you that's the same defensive thinking that cost the French to surrender in 40 days in World War II. And you go, how is that possible? How is that possible? Like, how is me wanting to defend in that area, how is me wanting to win in that area not correct? That same thinking that we need to win in that area of sin is what's causing you and I to leave a break in our line, just like the French did with the Ardennes Forest. And it leaves us wide open for where the enemy actually wants to attack us. You see, the French, they made that everyone think the attack was going to take place up north, but the Germans, see, they didn't want to attack the north. They wanted to take the whole country. They didn't care just about the north. They wanted the whole country, and the French didn't set up their defenses like that. You and I, so many times, we want to defend in this one area where we're struggling with sin, but we got to understand the enemy wants to take our whole life. He wants to take our whole heart. Does anyone remember, if you were here last week or online, Proverbs 4:23? Proverbs 4:23, maybe you highlighted or underlined it last week. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Is that not what it says? Guard your heart. It doesn't say guard against lust. It doesn't say guard against, pride. It doesn't say guard against envy. It says guard your heart because everything flows from it. I want to tell you, if you want to win any decisive battle in your life moving forward, the thing you must protect above all else is your integrity. If you do not guard your heart, if you do not guard your integrity, you will inevitably end up like the French in World War II. Look at this. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. To do what is right and just before the Lord is more pleasing to him than sacrifice. And see, that's an interesting verse in the Old Testament culture, because in the Old Testament, every time the people sinned, they would have to go make a sacrifice. They'd have to go make the sacrifice to get right with God. And so the author of this says, yeah, to be more pleasing to God, rather than have to make the sacrifice, do what's right and just before him. If you want to be pleasing to the Lord according to Proverbs, you don't worry so much about the sacrifice. You do what's right and just before the Lord. See, if you want to win a battle, any decisive battle in your life moving forward, what you and I must do is guard our integrity before the Lord. We must guard above all else in our heart the desire to do what's right and just before the Lord. You see, there's two ways the enemy is going to try to come and take our heart out. He's going to try to attack our heart mainly in two different ways. And the first one is the temptation of compromise. The temptation of compromise. You see, so many times he's actually thrilled if if you and I just fight against sin, if we just try to manage our sin, if we just try not to sin, he's thrilled with that because that's like the French fighting up north. We go fight up in the north, that's fine. While you worry about trying to manage sin, the enemy wants to go straight for your heart. He wants to go straight for your heart because everything you and I do flows from it. And so while we're worrying about trying to manage sin, he's going to come in and try to instill compromise in our character. You see, here's the thing. If the enemy can instill in any area of our life the desire to compromise, it will eventually rot to the rest of our life. If the enemy can come in to your heart, to my heart, and instill compromise, it will eventually flow to every area of our life. And see, that's the thing, is you and I, so many times we want a decisive battle against pride or lust or greed or gluttony or whatever it is, and we defend there, we send all our troops there, we try so hard not to commit that one sin, and the enemy goes, that's fine, while you're doing that, I will instill compromise in your character, and then that area of sin that you're trying so hard not to mess up in will eventually fall, because eventually, you'll compromise. See, above all else, we're supposed to guard our heart. See, here's the thing. If the enemy wants to instill compromise in our heart, because from that, everything will rot outwards. Here's the other thing. If you will protect your integrity before the Lord, if you'll instill a desire to do what's right and just in your heart, that will eventually influence every area of your life. That's why the heart is where the decisive battle always starts. If you want to get anything out of this series moving forward, today is where you're going to decide if you're going to win anything. We'll talk about this for several weeks. There's a lot of stuff we got to cover, but I can tell you, if you do not want to instill the desire to do what's right and just before the Lord, you will never see decisive battles won in your life because eventually compromise will take place in your heart. And so if we allow compromise in, it eventually rots to every area of our life. But if we instill in our heart the desire to do what's right and just before the Lord, that will eventually influence every area of our life. So how do you beat the temptation of compromise? You see, if you decide, I'm going to do what's right and just before the Lord in my heart, and that influences every area of your life, eventually what happens is integrity will push you to win the battle before it happens. Integrity will push you to win the battle before it happens. See, here's what you and I tend to do so much is the next time we're struggling with pride or with, you know, lust or with greed or whatever, we go, next time that temptation comes, I'm going to win. You're like rolling up your sleeves. I've got this. I'm going to be stronger than the temptation next time it hits, right? You've thought this. Next time greed hits, I'm not going to take advantage of somebody in a business deal. And then you get to the business deal and all of a sudden you realize how much you can make if you just take advantage this time. And you go, well, maybe next business deal is the time I'm going to have integrity. And in that moment, compromise is instilled in your character. Well, the next time, everyone at the office starts to gossip, I'm not going to join in, but you know the gossip always takes place in the break room. So where do you not need to be? The break room. But you're like, but they got donuts today. Chocolate on top and sprinkles, and you're like, well, next time, and before you know it, you're talking about Sally in the office and this and that and blah, 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 and before you know it, you got something on everybody in the office, and you had three donuts, and you're like, well, I got gossip and gluttony, okay, my new band name, okay, and so, but see, integrity, if you plant that in your heart, will push you to win the battle before it happens. You go, I know where the enemy wants to attack. I know where the enemy is going to come after me, and I will do whatever it takes to not give in. And that means I don't need to be in that break room. That means in that next business deal, maybe I need to bring in my business partner who wants to do what's right before the Lord. Maybe you're struggling to look at stuff on your computer, and you go, I need accountability software on this. It's not the temptation will never take place again. It's will you have decided to win the battle before it happens. And see, integrity will always push you to win the battle before it happens. See, what was so costly to the French was they did not anticipate where the Germans really wanted to be. They thought for sure the Germans really wanted to be up north, and they didn't understand the Germans wanted the whole country, not just the north. And they would attack wherever was necessary to get their goal. If we don't understand where the enemy wants to attack, we cannot position ourselves. We cannot win the battle before it happens. That's why integrity is so important, because if you want to do what's right and just, you will do whatever it takes to win the battle before it happens. The time to decide to do what's right and just before the Lord is not the next time you're being pummeled by temptation. The next time to decide how you're going to handle gluttony is not after your fourth plate at Golden Corral, okay? That is not the time to figure out what you're going to do is right and just before the Lord. Win the battle before it takes place. See, there's a second thing the enemy will want to come in and attack in our heart, because again, everything flows from the heart. And the second thing he's going to tempt us with is the temptation of influence. You see, I think in every human heart is the desire to be liked, to be loved, to be cared about, to be respected. Every human heart wants to be cared about. And the enemy will always come in and try to expose that desire that you want to be loved, you want to be cared about, you want to be respected. I mean, who wants every person on this planet to disrespect you? That does not sound exciting. That is not the way you want to live your life. If you're telling me that, we can talk outside. I don't know what's going on in your life, okay? But there's a desire in our human heart to want to be loved, cared about, respected. But look at Proverbs 22:11. Proverbs 22:11 says, "He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend." He who loves purity of the heart and is gracious in speech will have the king as their friend. We don't have kings anymore. It may feel like that at some times, but we don't have kings anymore. Okay, we've got presidents and politicians and this or that, but the principle still applies. You see, the human desire is to want to be liked, to be loved, to be cared about, respected. But eventually, as soon as we start to get those things, as soon as you finally get in that dating relationship and you feel love for the first time, and then all of a sudden you know the relationship's starting to be a little unhealthy. It's not the way it should be. It's not right before the Lord. And the enemy comes in and goes, yeah, but if you give this up, who's going to love you? Who's going to care about you? Yeah, you start to move up at work a little bit. You start to rise the ranks, and you realize you're not treating people the way you should. And the enemy goes, yeah, if you change how you're doing, you'll lose this position. You see, the enemy always comes in and tries to tell us that our love, respect, influence, we must protect at all costs. What he doesn't tell us is eventually one of those costs will be our integrity. You see, our desire to protect love, our respect, our influence in our life will eventually cost us our integrity. The irony of that is what Proverbs 22:11 tells us. If you'll protect your purity of your heart, you'll eventually have love. You'll eventually have respect. You'll eventually have influence. What does Proverbs 22:11 says? If you'll protect your purity of your heart, if you'll be gracious in your speech, you'll eventually have the king as your friend. Why? What politician, what person of influence, what family member, what friend doesn't want people around them that's going to do what's right and just before the Lord? How many of us go, I want a friend group, but I want them all to lack integrity? That sounds super exciting. No one. What king goes, I'd like to surround myself with people who may kill me in my sleep, okay? No king's looking for people like that. They're looking for that on the resume. If you put that on your resume, that's a bold strategy, El Capitan. But the Lord says, if you'll have purity of heart and you'll be gracious in speech, you'll eventually have influence. You'll eventually have people want you around. You'll eventually be loved. You'll eventually be respected. You'll eventually be cared for. But you must do what's right before the Lord. The enemy will tell you, if you want that love, if you want that respect, if you want to be liked, you must protect that at all costs. And eventually it will cost you your integrity. Because again, he's trying to instill compromise in our character. And so you may go, well, how in the world do I win? Because, Philip, you had me at the beginning of the series when you're like, I'm struggling in this one area. I know that. I know I'm struggling with compromise. I know I'm struggling with protecting things above my integrity. How in the world do I begin to move forward? How do I win in those areas? Luckily, I've scoured the scriptures. The Bible actually tells us how to protect our integrity at all costs. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. If you want some verses to highlight or underline, look at Psalm 119, 9 through 11. It says, how can a person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word? I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How can a young person, you go, well, I'm not young anymore. This verse doesn't apply. Come on now, okay? If this works for a young person, this works for you too. Don't give me none of that, okay? How can a person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word? I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you want to do what's right and just before the Lord, I'll give you four things. Not one, not two, not three, four. Not five, we don't have time for that, but four, okay? One, if you want to be someone who does what's right and just before the Lord, you need to be in the Bible daily. Daily. See, here's the thing, is so many of us go, I want to do what's right, I want to do what's just, and then temptation hits, and you go, I have no idea, actually, what's right or just, because the last time I read the Bible was when our family read it before Thanksgiving, which unfortunately is about 4 months ago. Or you may go, yeah, I read the Bible to start my week on Mondays, and then you, pastor, young guy up there, you talked about the Bible on Sundays, so I got a little something going. I'm telling you, the verse has just said, if you want to keep your ways pure before the Lord, you need to be in the Bible daily. You need to be in the Bible daily. So many times we try to compromise and go, if I'm just in it, some will work. Some integrity doesn't work. You either have integrity or you don't. You either have right standing before the Lord or you don't. And it's not this legalistic thing. I'm trying to do a Bible reading plan. I miss some days, but I get back at it the next day. Okay, don't hold yourself over. Well, if I miss one day, I might as well stop. No, fight for that time every day. Fight for that time every day. If you haven't been at Vertical Church a long time, we believe Hebrews 4:12. It says the word of God is alive. It is active. Every day I'm telling you to be in the Bible, it's not to read a history book. It's to read a book that will change your heart, that will make your ways pure before the Lord. If you want to have right standing before the Lord, be in the Bible daily. And here's the thing is, when you're reading it, ask God. Ask God as you read it. God, will you change my heart? Will you use these verses to change my mind and change my heart? Will you make my path the path of purity, Lord? You can ask that as you read the scripture. I also encourage you, don't start in the book of Leviticus, for heaven's sake. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John if you're getting started. We'll get to Leviticus later. The same thing is what verse 10 says, I seek you with all my heart. If you want to do what's right and just before the Lord, it starts with your heart and whether you're willing to seek the Lord with everything you have. Your relationship with Jesus cannot be casual. It cannot be at points. If you want to do what's right before the Lord, your heart must be in love with Jesus to give Jesus everything in you. If your life doesn't look that way, the beauty of the grace of God is that can change. Today is your day. Today is your day where following Jesus doesn't have to be casual. It doesn't have to be whenever it's convenient. Today's your day where you can say, Jesus, I want you to have my entire life. I want to give you everything I am, Jesus, in my brokenness, my sin, my mistakes. I don't want to compromise in my character anymore, God. I don't want to give up my integrity for influence or love or respect or whatever. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to give up my heart for you, Jesus. That happens today. That happens today. The third thing is, if you want to do what's right before the Lord, find other people that want to do that as well. Find a community that's saying, we want to have integrity before the Lord. Having people to push you to do what's right before the Lord. We weren't designed to follow Jesus on our own. We weren't designed to follow Jesus in isolation. We were designed to do it together. Find friends, find co-workers, find family members. If you have no one, we have groups that get together and they will encourage you to be in the Word of God. They will get you in the Bible. They will spur you on to do what's right and just before the Lord. Don't do it by yourself. Life is way too hard to do on your own. Get people around you that will encourage you, that will support you. The fourth thing, if nothing else, fight for your integrity because you love Jesus. Fight for your integrity because you love Jesus. John 15, I always love this. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. The easiest thing to do with a lesson like this is I'm just going to pull myself up by the bootstraps. I'm just going to try harder. I'm just going to do it. That'll lead you to legalism. That'll lead you to following rules and trying to do it on your own. And that's not what the Bible calls us to. The Bible says you'll obey me if you first love me. The question is not is what you're doing right before the Lord right now. The question is, do you love Jesus? The question is, do you love Jesus? Because if you love Jesus, these verses will compel you. These verses will bring conviction. These verses won't bring condemnation. They'll spur you on. You may have walked in today and you realized, not only am I not defending against sin, I'm actually defending my sin. I think there's someone online or in the building, Holy Spirit's been saying, your pride, your sin, you've actually been saying, if anyone found out I'm doing this, if anyone else found out I was living this way, I'd be lost. And Jesus wants to say, no. By defending that sin, you are lost. Stop spending your time and your life defending the compromise. Stop spending your time and resources defending your love, our respect, our influence. Spend everything defending your integrity. If you've walked in here or you've joined us online, the question is not, are you doing what's right before the Lord? The question that we must ask of our very soul, at the very depths of who we are, do we love Jesus? Because if we love Jesus, that should spur you on to integrity. That should spur you on to do what's right. It should spur you on to say, I will win the battle before it happens because I must do what's right before the Lord. So many times we spend our energy trying to manage sin and to just try to not mess up. That's not why we're here. We're here to spend our whole life telling people Jesus is worth everything. Jesus is worth everything. See, the enemy, he always wants to come in and instill compromise in our heart to glorify ourselves. Why? Because that's what he wants. The enemy wants glory for himself. See, integrity will always push you to glorify the Lord and not yourself. But the enemy will always convince you in your life, do something that brings honor and glory to yourself. Joined us online or in the building today. If you love Jesus, it should compel you. It should compel you with every last breath to say, I will defend my integrity before the Lord. I could have my wealth melt away. I could have my influence melt away. I could have people not love me, but with every last breath I have, I will defend my integrity to do what's right and just before the Lord. If we love Jesus, we should fight to the last breath to defend our heart, to do what's right and just before him. If you want to see North Georgia change, we must do what's right before the Lord. See, here's the thing. I'm not interim pastor to change North Georgia. I can't do that. We can do that. We can do that if we're a group of people who go to our workplace, who go to our houses, who go to the schools and say, I will defend my integrity before the Lord with every last breath I have. The world can take it all. They can have the rest, but as long as I get to the end of my life and I offer the Lord intact integrity, I will have run my race with perseverance. So maybe Holy Spirit speaking into your life and you realize you're setting up the defenses in your life like the French. You have a gaping hole in the defenses of your life. If you want to do what's right and just before the Lord, what needs to change today? Today, not tomorrow, not next week. What needs to change in our life today to go, I will do what's right and just before the Lord because I love Jesus? That is what's going to change our culture. North Georgia will never look the same if there's hundreds of people who say, you cannot buy my integrity. You cannot intimidate me into giving up my integrity. I will do what's right and just before the Lord because there's going to come a day where I look Jesus face to face and my wealth won't impress him. My influence on social media won't impress him. But a life that was lived to honor him above all will bring glory to his name. So Holy Spirit, have this time. If we've been defending the wrong areas, if we've been spending our energy on the wrong things, Holy Spirit, speak into our life to let us live a life where we guard our hearts above all, where we guard our integrity to the last breath. Holy Spirit, send us to the schools, send us to the workplaces, send us to our houses to do what's right and just before you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, empower us to step out in courage and boldness. Help us to guard our souls, our hearts above all else. I pray for anyone that's walked in the building or online right now, Lord, and they feel overcome. They feel, I've lost this battle too many times. Holy Spirit, grant them courage and boldness right now to fight the battle at least one more time. Because today's the day where I will spend everything I have to love Jesus, and that will compel me to win the battle before it happens. That will compel me to do what's right and just before the Lord. Those things that you believe are part of you, that sin that you feel like owns you, in the name of Jesus, I'm here to tell you it does not. It does not own you. That is not a part of your character. That is not a part of your identity. Today's your day where that mirror you have looked into and you see all the flaws, it breaks. And it's time for Jesus to rebuild your identity. And it's flawless because of who he is. It's time for you to spend every ounce of energy you have to defend our integrity. So Holy Spirit, move and change us in only the ways that you can. We give you this time, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.